This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Well, today's guest is Paul Putz, the Assistant Director of the Faith and Sports Institute at Baylor University's Truett Theological Seminary, and I'm excited for you to hear what Paul has to say. Paul holds a PhD in history from Baylor, and he researches and writes about the connections between sports and Christianity in American culture. Along with his academic publications, his writing has appeared at Christianity Today, Religion and Politics, Slate, Religion News Service, and more. His research has also been featured in stories at The Atlantic, Sports Illustrated, and The Ringer, and also in two episodes of NPR's Only a Game radio program. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Paul. Well, hey, Paul, welcome to King Chasing.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brandon.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's go ahead and just jump right in. You actually won an NCCA Division II basketball national championship in 2008, and you were actually teammates with Willie Williams, who was our guest last month. And before we got started, you actually told me an interesting story about Willie and how you guys were friends and actually are brothers-in-law. Do you mind sharing that with our listeners?
Not at all. Always happy to talk about Willie. So we grew up in this small Nebraska town, population 8,000, and we're in football country, right? Nebraska is football country. But Willie and I were basketball players. So that was our thing, man. We love basketball, and we're in eighth grade when we become friends, and both of us are like, we want to play college ball. We may have talked about NBA stuff. I don't know. You don't want to hold us to that. We had big dreams. And so we practiced together from eighth grade on, became best friends through that, and really pushed each other and spurred each other on. Well, in high school, Willie started dating a girl that he would eventually marry. And so he ends up going to college at Nebraska Christian. He's playing basketball. For me, after high school, I originally decided, hey, I'm going to take a break from basketball. After a couple of years out of state school, I thought, I really missed the sport. I want to get back into it. So I transferred to Grace University, which was in Omaha, and kind of convinced Willie to transfer over to Grace, join me on the team so we could play again. And so that's how we became teammates in college. And it was around that time, too, that Willie got married to his high school sweetheart. And at the wedding, his now wife, Kendra, her sister, Bethany, was the maid of honor, and I was Willie's best man. And so Bethany and I started talking, and eventually we start dating, and a couple years later, Bethany and I get married. And so Willie and I are now brothers-in-law, grew up in the same town, bonded over basketball, and now we get to see each other over the holidays. We watch NBA on Christmas Day. We drive our wives crazy because we talk too much basketball. It's pretty cool, though, to have that relationship that goes all the way back.
Yeah, I love that. So I obviously had no idea about that. And just the chances that, you know, we had Willie on last month and now we've got you. And I'm asking if you have any connections with Willie other than, you know, being on the same team. And you're like, yeah, we're brothers-in-law. I'm like, okay, I have to hear this story.
So I got other stories about Willie that if you ever need some dirt on him, you just let me know.
I might have to hit you up on that sometime. But back to the national championship that you actually won with Willie. Just curious if you can kind of talk about what that experience was like for you, you know, going through that process and winning a national championship.
Yeah, you know, that was a real special season. I know for me, for Willie, I want to give a shout out to Thad Mott, who was our coach at Grace. You know, when you sometimes you don't really realize it until it's over and you reflect back on it, the special, just what's special about a journey, about a season, you know, because if you think about basketball, think about any sport, really, you start off at the beginning of the year and yes, you have goals. Yes, you have a place you want to be. And we did set a goal of winning a regional championship and making it to the Nationals. But, you know, at the same time, at the end of the day, most teams lose. Most teams don't end with the championship. The vast majority of times you go through a season, you know that there's going to be this sorrow, this loss at the end of it. And yet you push on anyway. And so in the journey, you know, it gets lost of just what you've accomplished. And so to have a season where everything comes together, we're playing good at the right time. I remember our team bonding, our defense, just the way that we were communicating and rotating and talking with each other, really picking up at the end of the year, and just came together in a way that's hard to describe, where we become greater than the sum of our, you know, each individual, you know, on our own, we're just much greater in terms of once you put the whole thing together. And at the end of the day, coming away with the championship. And Willie specifically, I think he embodies a lot of the championship mindset that our team had. Because this is a guy who, when he was playing on Nebraska Christian, he was their leading scorer. So he's putting up like 20 a game. When he came over to Grace to play with us, we needed someone to play a point guard role. Full disclosure, I like to shoot. So I was putting up shots. Definitely could do that. And we had some other guys who were good at offense and good scorers. But we needed someone who could handle the ball. And we had another point guard on that team, Brad Epstein, who had gotten minutes before. And so Willie came into a role where he had been the starter, had been the leading scorer, and now he's playing point guard. He's a distributor. He's playing defense. And he's also sharing minutes with a point guard. And the fact that he embraced that role, accepted that role, was really the galvanizing force that helped us become a championship team. So Willie totally represents how that team was able to come together, sacrifice for the greater good. And it makes sense now that he's such a great coach, because when he was a player, he was already modeling what it's like to lead well. You know, he does that now for his players, and he has integrity when he asks them to sacrifice, because he did the same thing, you know, back in our Grace days when we won that national title.
Sure. I love that. Yeah. And he was actually with his team at our Division I national championship this year, and his team did really well. So, yeah. Now, you have a number of blogs, online publications, peer-reviewed publications relating to the intersection of sports and Christianity. What's driven you to become so passionate about that topic?
Most of it's, I think, my own story. Grew up in Nebraska, as I mentioned. I'm playing basketball. I'm part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'm also a pastor's kid. And so my identity as an athlete and a Christian were always really important to how I saw myself. When I go to college, then I'm at a Christian university. I'm playing for the NCCAA, this Christian organization. And so I was always thinking through and kind of trying to connect these identities. When I move on to getting into teaching and getting into research and writing, it just made sense for me that I wanted to understand my own story. I wanted to understand, where did this connection between sports and Christianity come from, specifically in an American context? And how is it that sports has become this place of spiritual and moral formation? So I think in a lot of ways, my interest in the subject, it was just an interest in knowing myself, knowing how the past has helped to shape the present, and also seeing my own experience in relationship to the experience of those who have come before. All right, we think about there's a passage in Hebrews 11 and 12 about running the race and about a great cloud of witnesses. And in fact, I think I wrote a devotional about this for the NCCAA last year on your blog. But I was just writing about how we are part of this community, not just of people who we live with right now in the day-to-day experiences, but we're part of a community of people who have come before us. And that's what I love about history, is to see ourselves in relationship to people who built institutions, who stewarded resources, and who helped to connect the faith and sports identities in ways that we get to benefit today. In my history work, I'm trying to tell those stories and to make them relevant to myself and to other Christians in sports, so we can carry that story on into the future.
Speaking of history, you've written about James Naismith, the inventor of basketball, and how character development was his ultimate goal. Wins and losses weren't really his priority. That's a balancing act that coaches in the 21st century are still dealing with and working through. What are some ways that you think coaches can succeed at integrating faith into their team?
I think intentionality and integrity are probably two of the best ways I would say you can do this. Certainly at an NCCAA school, this is going to be easier to do than if you're coaching at say a secular school or a public school somewhere. Although it can still happen in those contexts in different ways. But at an NCCAA school, this is what it's all about, right? Having intentionality to build a culture in which you pursue excellence, but you pursue a greater goal than winning, which is a goal focused on getting people to meet Jesus, know Jesus, and then share that with others. It's about loving God and loving others, essentially, right? And so I think for Christian coaches, you want to design structures and a system, a culture that models that loving God and loving others mindset. And that would mean your values, your mission, kind of your goals and directives need to include not just winning, which is certainly part of it. You want to pursue excellence. We shouldn't discount that, right? Winning matters, but there's a greater goal that needs to be intentionally pursued, cultivated, and included in like a strategic plan for your year. So if you have intentionality in cultivating it, that's one. And then the integrity piece, I think, is essential. If you are not yourself modeling and practicing what you preach, if you're not modeling humility, if you're not modeling repentance, because none of us are perfect, if you are not a person who's actively following Christ, if you're a person who in your own personal life, you get super high with the wins and super low with the losses, if you're finding people to blame, you know, for frustrating circumstances, it's going to be hard for your message to resonate with your team. And so I think if you can personally have the integrity to live out what you're asking your players to do, and then if you intentionally cultivate those disciplines, practices, directives, and goals, then I think you can help to push back against some of that performance-based mindset that so many athletes on your teams are going to have. And I mean, you know this, Brandon, and all the coaches listening. Players, by the time they reach you, they've already been formed and shaped by the culture around them in a way that prioritizes winning, where they find their self-worth through their performance. And so you as a coach have to fight back a little bit against that, but still helping them develop their skill, helping them grow as basketball players and pursue mastery of the game, not just winning, but development and skill and growth that ultimately I think honors Christ when we can become the best versions of ourselves.
It's interesting. You mentioned actually two components of our game plan for life, which has love, integrity, faith, and excellence. And you mentioned integrity and excellence. I love that. We might have to sign you up to do a commercial for us about that. Another article I read recently that you did back in December was about Bill Glass, who was a star player in the NFL back in the 60s, who pioneered evangelical sports ministry and prison ministry. Can you talk about how he shared Christ to his team throughout his career and what student athletes today can learn from Bill as they try to do the same thing?
That's a really good question. So I actually had the honor of sitting down with Bill about 2 years before he passed away. And I had about an hour and a half with him where I just got to hear his journey, hear his story. And then on top of that, I've been able to do a little bit of research and writing about what he's done. And what's interesting about him is he's this Baylor graduate, so Christian school, and he goes into the NFL. Out of a Christian school, now he's in this, you know, it's a secular environment. And when he's in that environment, he had to figure out, okay, what does it look like for me to witness, to be a Christian witness in a space that is not institutionally Christian? So how can, essentially he's asking, how can I have integrity in this? And how can I still witness for Christ in a way that isn't judging and turning away non-Christians, but also that isn't sacrificing his core convictions? And so I think maybe one of the most important things student athletes could learn from him was that he was able to navigate this tension that we want to hold between firm convictions, being a Christian and having integrity in that. There's the integrity word again. But at the same time, doing it in a way that he could relate to other people just as human beings. I mean, if you know, I read some of the teammates who wrote about Bill Glass who were not Christians, and they knew where he stood, and yet they could still laugh with him, joke with him. He's someone who enjoyed life, right? He was the type of person you liked being around because he enjoyed a good joke. He would poke fun at people and build camaraderie. And so I think those components are really essential if we're thinking about what it means to be a Christian. It is witnessing to Christ, not just in the words that we proclaim, which are important, but also the way we relate to others. And Bill Glass modeled that really well.
Now, when the pandemic first hit, things started shutting down. You wrote about the religion of sports and how it might be diminished. Now that we're 2 years from COVID's start, do you think the religion of sports was diminished, or are we back to how it was pre-COVID?
I think we're pretty close to where we were. If I were to think back now, you know, it's funny. I haven't really thought about how would I write that article now? Thinking about where we're at. I do think there was a moment in time when the pandemic hit that there was a lot of introspection, a lot of reflection from people in sports saying, oh, maybe this is a chance to pull back a little bit on, you know, some of the negative things about sports. Maybe this is a chance to kind of rein in some of the excesses. And I think it's sort of like instead what's happened, and this is in a lot of areas of culture, now that the pandemic, you know, we're confident, we're able to go and live life again. Now that it's over, it's sort of like people are just catching back up to whatever, you know, life was like before. You pour yourself into your career, you pour yourself into your sport, whatever it is that you are passionate about, you're kind of trying to make up for lost time even. And so my sense is that there hasn't been a lot of that permanent change, but at the same time, I don't want to discount that time during the pandemic. I think people were asking really good questions. And so I think we might see over time some more fruit that's born out of that time of wrestling and reflection. Maybe not right away as sports have ramped back up. And, you know, if you're a coach, you're thinking about all the busyness of recruiting and developing your team and the job security things that's going to be forefront of your mind. But maybe in the midst of that, you're carving out a little bit of time to say, hey, how do I address the mental health of my athletes? That's one example. Hey, how do I make sure that I'm building in space where we're dealing with who the athletes are as people? Maybe I can do a little better with that. So I think probably, you know, at a ground level, there's some of that work being done, even as on the big picture level, I think we're back into it. I know I am. I'm out there watching March Madness and following Nebraska Cornhusker football and, of course, rooting for Baylor in ways that I was before the pandemic. But I would hope that there are also those pieces of reflection, healthy reflection, that remain as we move forward.
So you're the assistant director at the Faith and Sports Institute at Baylor. Can you share about what the Faith and Sports Institute is and what kind of resources are available for athletic directors and coaches to help them succeed at integrating faith within their teams and athletic departments?
We are a center that is housed in a seminary. Makes us a little bit unique. We're a Truett Seminary. That is then within Baylor University. So we're part of the Baylor University system. And really, we're designed to be at the connection between academic spaces, ministry spaces, and sports spaces. We want to be a hub of resources and curriculum and teaching that can help anyone from high school athletes all the way up to experienced sports ministry leaders or athletic directors find ways to reflect and grow in how they connect faith and sports. And so there's a broad range, of course, of what we're trying to do there with that audience. But kind of our bread and butter is We have a graduate degree program, which is both online and in person, where people can come and learn how to connect Christian theology with sports leadership. And then we also have a certificate program. This is a continuing education or professional development program that's entirely online. We have classes on subjects like mental health in sports, or the Bible in sports, sports leadership, sports and theology. And all of these classes are designed from a Christian perspective to help people who are actually within sports learn to integrate their faith with what they do. And, you know, I would say the curriculum, the research, the materials we have, there's lots of good spaces out here doing work like this. It's not like we're the only place that people can come to learn and grow. What I think we do have is that we're one option that people can try. I think we are one option among others of a potential space where people will find community. They'll find like-minded leaders in sports who have a heart for loving and serving athletes and the people in sports, and who want to continue to grow and learn alongside others. And so that's really what we want to do. We like to collaborate with other organizations, so many groups doing good work in this field, this area, and we want to be a part of that conversation.
I love it. The Spirit of the Game, book plug time. It's a book that I know you're working on. Can you share with our listeners what that book is about and when you expect it to be released?
That is my dissertation project, for one thing. So this thing started back in 2013. I came to Baylor and enrolled in a PhD program in history and started to research the history of sports and Christianity in the United States. Turns out that's a pretty big topic, so I narrowed it a little bit. and I focused on what I called big time sports. What it meant by that were the professional sports leagues and then sort of the Power Five or Division One college sports. I wanted to look at how Christianity has been embedded in those institutions, and then how sports has been a place where Christians and other people are shaped morally and spiritually. My hunch when I got into the research, and I think I'm right about this, is that a lot of academics tend to not take sports seriously, or they tend to be a little suspicious of it. Maybe they'll say, well, sports is just a diversion. Sports isn't that important. We devote too much time to sports. And maybe we do, but sort of a critical mindset on sports. And my hunch was that sports are actually a place that young people especially, but also coaches, also adults, also the leaders in sports, where they are formed and shaped in profound ways. That sports is a site of education, that it is an intellectual activity. It's not just about the body, it's about the mind and the soul as well. And if that's true, then we should seriously try to understand the history of how we've connected sports and Christianity. So I did a lot of research and have been working on what was a dissertation. It became a book project. It's under contract with Oxford University Press, and it will tell the history of sports and Christianity and how those have been connected in American culture from about the 1920s up through about the year 2000. Wow. It is, it's an academic history book. So this is one of those things where, it's not a book that, you know, everyone is going to want to come out and like read at the beach or something like that. But I do think that for people who are really interested in the history and who like that aspect of learning about the American past, I think it'll be a book that people in sports will want to read. And I'm excited to hopefully finish this thing up soon, and hopefully by next summer of 2023, that thing will be out in the world and available.
Sounds good. Well, we look forward to it. And you'll have to let us know when that happens. That's all the time we have today, but thank you so much, Paul, for joining us on King Chasing today.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Really a pleasure to be here, and love just the impact that the NCCAA has had on my life and continues to have in the lives of young athletes everywhere.
Thanks again to Paul for discussing ways for coaches to integrate faith within their teams and how student athletes can follow Bill Glass's example and share Christ with their teammates. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We would also appreciate it if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.